Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, readying information about a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Corvallis police arrest a naked football player. Housing sales plunged 27% in July. And a woman on a bike collides with a garbage truck.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010. Corvallis police, responding to an early morning call about a naked stranger inside a home, eventually resorted to stun guns to take an Oregon State University football player into custody. Police said the young man refused to comply with officers' instructions to get down on the ground early Sunday morning. Instead, Sergeant Mike Mann said the nude man dropped into a three-point stance like football players do. Like a lineman, he said, and lunged at the officers. Mann told KVAL-TV the two officers fired their tasers at the same time. They arrested 19-year-old Tyler Patrick Thomas of Kalispell, Montana, for investigation of criminal mischief and resisting arrest. Mann said police believed Thomas had been drinking. The Corvallis Gazette-Times said he was booked into Benton County Jail but later released. Newspaper reports Thomas was dismissed from the OSU football team after the arrest. An offensive lineman, Thomas redshirted the 2009 season for the Beavers.
I'd like to think that he was just drunk, or perhaps on, what is everybody's on, the angel dust, or whatever. That seems like a deep-seated kind of crazy, though. And it seems, because he was in the...
He has a mullet.
He was in the, oh, wow. Really? Are we sure this is a real guy and that he's not being, portrayed by that eldest Hansen brother in a sort of bid for artistic respectability? I guess he'd be the middle Hansen brother. Yeah. Who's the one that looks like a girl?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I don't really know my Hansens that well. I'm sorry.
That wasn't out loud. But you look at this and you can really see the impact that Friday Night Lights has had, because every character in Friday Night Lights looks exactly like this guy. They've all got this sort of dishwater blonde, mulleted thing, and this sort of, he could be an attractive, handsome man if only he didn't have that roguish growth of beard on him.
If he wasn't all puffy from the beer.
Yeah. It's sort of, that's the other thing. He has that kind of Travis Tritt, pre-bloat going on. Where, there's like burning a million calories a day, and calisthenics has sort of kept the lard at bay. But the instant he stops playing football, it's just going to be a sort of...
Which is kind of like now, apparently.
And the circle is complete. This is Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, coming up later on today, you'll be able to get this program on iTunes as well as at legionofnews.com in archived form. And at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show takes the airwaves at rickemerson.com. This is Don Taylor.
Existing housing sales plunged 27% in the month of July as compared with June, according to the National Association of Realtors. Housing market analysts blame the drop on the expiration of the federal home buyers rebate program. But Moody's economist Marcus Zandi doesn't believe that means the buyer's tax credit program has been a failure.
When you combine the three credits together, they have put an end to the most serious house price declines. Before the credit, house prices were in free fall and had declined about 30% from their peak. Since the credits, they've been basically flat.
So this is what now is this
could
one
you,
of those
could
things
you play
where,
our all-purpose expert?
It's funny actually. I was about to do that. I was going to play the generic news bite, and I thought, no, it's too early in the program for that. We're on the same track today, you and I. We're of a mind. Hold on a second. So let me just housing credit.
I guess at this point, we are only hopeful that until the regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
It totally works.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have gone with my first instinct. I should not have second-guessed myself. So what is the deal with this? Is this if you're buying a home, I say to you, because you don't own a home and neither do I.
Yeah. I used to own a home.
Really?
And I couldn't afford my home anymore, so I got rid of my home.
Yeah. See,
and now I live in an apartment because owning a home was killing me.
If only more people were like you in the sense of saying, wait a minute, maybe I can't actually pay for this. Yeah. I ought to live elsewhere.
Yeah. Wow. If I actually need a roof, I'm screwed.
So when they talk about a credit, is the deal there where?
I think it's one of those things where they're trying to encourage first-time home buyers by giving them rebate. I don't know.
But is it a credit against your taxes, or is it just a flat-out, like, where you got to tear the box top off and then you mail it in and they send you a check for, like, $80,000? Or is it just that the government, Rick Emerson, is paying for a certain section of the home, the actual home price?
Apparently, it turned out that me not being able to afford to maintain my home came too early in the game to take advantage of all of these things that they're coming up with to help people who can't afford their homes.
Seriously, no, the thing to do right now is just go out and get yourself in hock up to your eyeballs. Go buy 5 or 6 cars, have several kids while you're at it, do your damnedest to underperform at work, and then on the day that you suspect you're going to be fired, put down some earnest money on a house. And then just sit back and relax as money from Rick Emerson and Don Taylor and fellow taxpayers just rolls on in to cover you. So there you go.
Portland police say a woman on a bike pulled out in front of a garbage truck just before 7 a.m. near Southeast 50th and Hawthorne. A police officer investigating the crash told Coin Local 6 News the bicyclist was at the corner of the intersection as the garbage truck was waiting at the stoplight. When the light turned green, the driver began to move into the intersection and then realized the woman on the bike had pulled out in front of him from the corner. The truck driver stopped as soon as he could, but the woman was knocked over by the truck's front bumper.
Now, to be fair, that intersection sucks. That intersection is terrible. It's another one of those places where I can never tell, like in my car, I can never tell if I'm in the right lane or not. You know what I mean? In the correct lane for it doesn't matter. If I want to turn left, I'm never quite certain that I'm in the right lane, the correct lane to go left. If I want to go straight, I have to see, because...
Well, it's a good thing you don't drive a garbage truck.
No. This is the reason that I drive the smallest car I can get. At any given point in my life, I get something so that it's not even really an if. It's like of a when. I eventually lose control of the vehicle at some point. I can do as little damage as is humanly possible. If I could be driving like a car that was just made out of crepe paper, I would do that. Because it's just a certainty that I'm going to plow into something, at some point in the near future. But that intersection, it's right by the... It's right by the Eagles Lodge, and then there's, of course, like 17 bars right there. I'm not implying that the cyclist had been drinking. I have no reason to suspect that.
Well, it's 7 a.m. I mean, she could have been drinking, but it's unlikely.
I'm saying that intersection is like a miniaturized version of that intersection on Sandy and Burnside and like 11th, where just everything comes together. And it appears to be put together by the folks at Hot Wheels, where it's one of those crossover sections of track where you're hoping that your car smashes into that owned by your best friend. Here is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
The Jackson County Sheriff's Office must pay about $43,500 in legal bills after losing a battle over concealed handgun permits that a court said were public records. Sheriff Mike Witters of Medford, Oregon, was ordered to pay the legal expenses for the Mail Tribune after the Oregon Court of Appeals ruled in June that Witters wrongly denied a request by the Medford newspaper for public records listing licenses granted in 2006 and 2007 for concealed handguns. Mail Tribune editor Bob Hunter said the newspaper did not want the sheriff's office to spend money on legal fees, but, quote, it was important to make sure that public officials follow the law themselves.
What's the point of having a concealed handgun? I mean, why would you possibly want your handgun concealed? You want your handgun right out in the open where some guy can see it and know not to F with you, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
Well, yes, except that kind of alarms people a lot. Yeah, and so if you want to, say, go to the mall or go down to Plaid Pantry and pick up a Coke and you happen to have your gun with you, you want to be able to wear it in a holster, like, say, under your jacket not alarm people.
Let me ask you this. If you have a concealed handgun permit, I ask you, Don Taylor, as a Muslim, Don, yeah, if I have a concealed handgun permit, am I required to be concealing the handgun? In other words, is it a may or must, if you understand what I'm asking there? Is it that I can carry a concealed gun or that I got to carry
it's that
a concealed?
You can carry a concealed
but
gun.
But I could just carry it like on my person. I could just strap it to my chest and walk around with it.
I believe in Oregon you are allowed to carry a gun in public if you have a carry permit.
That's awesome.
Except that you run the risk that if you do anything that could be construed as brandishing,
yeah,
then you're in a whole lot of trouble.
What if I just stared at a guy?
Oregon, maybe.
What well, if I just... What
as
if
long
I just,
as you don't move your hand.
What if I just sat on a park bench or maybe like at one of those... What if I walked by one of those kiosks in the mall where guys are always trying to shove gewgaws into your hand? You're always trying to hook you up to things and like scan your brain. If I just stared at him for a while, like, you know, with a gun and just, you know, the gun, but my hand's nowhere near the gun. Wearing the holster, wearing the gun, hands in my pockets, and then just kind of giving him a stare and then maybe a little bit of an Andy Sipowicz... Sort of a heavy breathing, kind of a, you know, just with unbroken eye contact.
I think that if the man believed that to be threatening in any way, that you could possibly
I'm asthmatic, Dawn. It's not my fault I can't breathe
that's
correctly.
That's why we have courts, see, because there are different interpretations of behavior sometimes.
Here's the thing. I don't own a gun, largely because I'm irresponsible and violent, and so I choose not to have those things. Same reason that I'd like to have a smaller car, you know, because eventually I'll hit somebody. Eventually I would shoot somebody. There's no getting around that.
Oregon is pretty liberal when it comes to gun laws, though. You can apply for a carry permit and be pretty much just anybody. So now I spent the first like 2/3 of my life living in California, and to get any kind of a concealed permit or a carry permit in California, you have to have a really good reason. You have to be like a licensed private investigator. You have to be in law enforcement. You have to like maybe have some kind of restraining order against someone and be able to prove
that
there's
a threat going to be made on your person.
Yeah, you can't just go in and I want to carry a gun around, and they'll say why, and you go just because.
No, in the Northwest, they basically just give out guns at birth. Now it's like you get that little low jack they put on your wrist in the hospital to keep track of your baby, and then they give the baby. It's like, you know, Junior's little Glock or whatever, and it's they just hand it to you. It's because the Northwest is fascinating, and especially Washington and Oregon. Not so much Idaho, because that place is just they're just savages there. But in Oregon and Washington, it's this weird. The analogy I always use is it's like a rocking chair that's been painted 100 times. And so all the colors are sort of blending, you know, in and blending through. And you can kind of see patches of green and orange from like previous generations of paint. And so here it's like this redneck that's been painted over with technology and science and advancement and intel and whatever. But you just can't stop the redneck from bleeding through. Which I think is a result of having like the timber-based culture and then the technology-based economy. That one has not replaced the other. They just sort of, they've been extruded out together, like out of the end of a Play-Doh thing. So, anyway. Yeah. I want to find that out, though, because that's the thing that would almost, that would be enough inducement almost to get a gun if I knew that I could just walk around with a gun strapped on me and just stare at people. That'd be fantastic. And you know, the thing is, I'd get fantastic customer service no matter where I went. I go into McDonald's, you know, doesn't matter when. I need breakfast now.
What's interesting to me as someone who came from a state where gun laws are fairly restrictive, that Washington, I don't think Oregon is, but Washington, fully automatic weapons are legal.
And
my,
really?
Yeah. And once a year, my husband has been several times, once a year in Albany, they have, I guess it's Oregon that's a fully auto state because it's Albany, Oregon. There's a machine gun shoot.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
My husband goes to that and likes to fire off Tommy guns and whatnot.
Those of you who are subscribers to the Rick Emerson radio program, are smarter than everybody else. Let's not have any illusions about that. I mean, you're several steps ahead of everybody else in terms of human evolution. I mean, you're many rungs up the ladder. Also, so if you are a subscriber to the Rick Emerson show, rickemerson.com in the archives, if you go to the video section, so you go to the archives and then there's audio and video and then there's interviews and, you know, whatever. If you go to the video section of the Rick Emerson show archives, there's actually video of me up in like the Tillamook Burn area firing a fully automatic belt fed M60 mounted on the back of a Jeep into a swamp in the middle of winter. It's awesome. It is like you're playing. What is that the zombie Nazi film came out last year?
Dead Snow.
It's like a scene out of that because there's snow sort of falling everywhere, and then there's just a thicket of trees, and then the camera just sort of jerks around, and there I am standing on the back of the Jeep where there's this like big ass Apocalypse Now gun, And I'm just going, and there's a voice that kind of says, 3, 2, and then I go, all right. And I pull the trigger, and this hand comes into the frame to keep me from being knocked onto my ass, because even mounted, the thing, the kickback on the thing was just so immense. It was fantastic. I'm not like an anti-gun guy. I'm a big bleeding heart, but part of that is just like the government leaving you alone. You know what? Have a rocket launcher. I don't care. All right, I'm going to find out.
I'm going to read another story, and then perhaps we should speak about one of our sponsors.
That's crazy talk.
A deck caught fire at a Street of Dreams home in Northwest Portland on Monday night. Firefighters were called to 8317 Northwest Cressap Lane at 7:47 p.m. Crews were able to get to the scene quickly because there's a fire station across the street. The fire was recalled within a few minutes. The cause of the fire has not been determined. Fire officials did not immediately release any other details. This year's Street of Dreams event showcases 6 dream homes in Northwest Portland, and so far only one of them has been on fire.
But it seems like it's a selling point that, well, first of all, is there a fire station, you said, across the street?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about the Street of Dreams, because I've never been to that. I think my wife has gone, but I never go there because it seems like it would just, you'll pardon the pun, inflame my class issues. So
yes,
the Street of Dreams, the homes don't stay there.
Do they?
In other words, so
no,
it's,
people buy them.
But I mean, well, I guess they're not mobile homes. That wouldn't make any sense. I guess that's like a Street of Dreams that's a sort of scaled down. That's a Street of Broken Dreams. So it is. That sounds like such a dumb question. But these aren't like concept homes. These are actual homes you could buy and move into.
Right.
It's not like when you go to a car show, in other words, and they say, the car of tomorrow, but they're not really selling
it. No, it's like a block or so of these little mini mansions, and contractors from around the area come in and do like rooms.
All right.
Where they'll do, you know,
as a way to show off their skills.
All their stuff. And so then I guess they do it for cost or whatever it is. And then the houses sell to rich people who want to buy these ridiculous show-offy houses that they can go, hey, look, I've got money.
Hey, look what I'm going to be kicked out of in 3 years.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, on the one hand, it would seem to be a selling point that you're across the street from a fire station. On the other hand, not so much, because that seems like it's generated a lot of noise.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those things is going to be keeping you awake late at night. And my wife called me from Vegas last night. And to her credit, despite what I said during yesterday's Rick Emerson show, she had not apparently been double-fisting white Russians all night, which is usually what she does as soon as she gets there. She is exercising a modicum of caution because it's a business trip. But she was sort of, she went down to Old Vegas and then back to the Strip. And so she was calling me. She was, because she's frugal, getting ready to take a bus back to her hotel. And at any given moment in Vegas, there's just sirens shrieking and wailing in the background because somebody has just been stabbed in the eye or shot. There's somebody who's keeled over at that baccarat table somewhere or whatever. And I don't understand the point of having sirens going in Vegas, because it's not like you can get anywhere anyway. You know what I mean? It's like being in an ambulance in Manhattan. You're just sort of gridlocked. I don't understand the point of that.
I'm not a big fan of the Vegas, and I think that maybe it's just because there's just too many people and the lights are too flashy, and it just kind of annoys me. Plus, I don't gamble. I mean, we've played poker. I like poker, but I like playing poker like with people and stuff, mainly for the interaction. I don't. The whole casino gambling is creepy and weird to me.
Yeah,
because there's just all those people who've just been sitting there for 6 hours staring at you know, slot machines.
Kind of glassy-eyed.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you'll see the old lady with an oxygen tank, and she's double-fisting it on the slot machines, where she's got, like, one hand on one crank and one hand on the other, and she's losing 2 months' rent at once.
Yeah, it's like walking into an opium den or something, where it's just like, hello, this is a testament to addiction. Welcome.
What is that island? Is it? I never get this straight. Is it in Pinocchio or is it in Peter Pan where they go to Pleasure Island and then they turn into donkeys?
That's Pinocchio.
And they turn into is that the Lost Boys?
Yes.
And then they turn into donkeys at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
That's totally what Vegas is, which is why it's awesome, so forth. We want to take a moment to welcome one of our brand new sponsors here to the Emerson News Network and to Legion of News, Castalia Language Center. It's a small private school in downtown Portland that offers Spanish language classes for adults. And let's just be honest, if we can just speak as adults here, as Ricky Roma would say, if we can speak as men, just call a spade a spade. In like 10 years, 12 years, 15 years tops, when your kids or their kids or whoever, when they go to school, they're just going to teach them Spanish in public school, which is the way it ought to be. And I got to tell you, there's no fooling. I am 37 years of age, and it is, I really honestly regret A, that they didn't teach me Spanish when I was growing up, and B, that I just never took the time to learn it, you know, when I was a younger adult, you know, when I was like, I think I took, I don't know, I took like maybe 3 weeks of a Spanish class when I was, goddamn, when I was like maybe 26, 27, and then I ended up moving, and I moved to Southern California of all places, where it's like they got Spanish, you know, classes on every corner. And, you know, and I didn't do it there either. And it's, you know, it's my own fault, but I really regret not doing it because, it, you know, it has nothing to do with even necessarily traveling to another country. I mean, you spend any amount of time in this country and you're going to find that it helps you a great deal to be able to speak Spanish. I mean, that's just a fact. So if you want to learn it, you want to learn it in a great environment. You want to learn it in a relaxed environment where you got small classes and where, you know, it's just going to be other adults because adults and kids learn differently. You want to contact Castalia Language Center. And it's a small private school in downtown Portland. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. They focus on real-life situations, and they work with authentic materials. They're not going to have you diagramming a bunch of sentences and whatever. This is so you can actually learn the language and use it. It's a comfortable, relaxed environment, and it's run by a woman named Clara. She's a native Spanish speaker. She came from Argentina, and you can find out more about it by going to PortlandSpanish.com, PortlandSpanish.com. This is Dawn Taylor.
I'm going to read a happy story. Do we have our happy music?
Yes, we do. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can... all right. Let's see. Now, we have... I have a whole series of these. I'll just pick one. What is the nature? Give me a key word.
Longevity. Getting older.
Okay. How about...
Not dying. Yeah, that's nice.
All right. Here's your happy news with Dawn Taylor.
Walmart helped an employee celebrate a very special birthday on Monday. Lois Spielman works as a greeter at the store on South 27th Street in Franklin, Wisconsin. She started at Walmart in the year 2000 and retired at the age of 96. But Spielman said she missed her coworkers, so she returned to work as a greeter at age 97. And on Wednesday, she turns 100 years old. Coworkers held a party on Monday, complete with cake and lots of balloons. Spielman works about 35 hours a week. She drives herself to work, and she said she believes her job is a part of the key to her longevity. I just enjoy people, she said. That's what keeps me going. If I didn't have Walmart, I don't think I'd have made it. She said long life runs in her family. Her mother lived to be 102.
Oh, I thought it ended there. Now I just faded out. I don't know. I suppose I should be snarky about it, but I mean, you're 100 years old. What are you going to do? Just sit around your house and wet yourself? I mean, you got to do something.
If I'm 100 years old and I'm working at Walmart.
Yeah, but see, maybe you
put
don't.
Put me down but, like a dog.
But maybe you don't know. See, I was going to say that too, because that I know that I am supposed to insert a cynical comment about being at Walmart. But if you're 100 years old. Like, what do you care?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
maybe if you're 100 years old, maybe that's a happening place again. Maybe you're, I mean, whether or not you have all your faculties, it seems like, what is the alternative? You're going to be running a marathon? Probably not.
You know, home, playing video games, chatting with friends on the internet.
She's 100. All her friends are dead.
When I'm 100, I plan to be just sitting in my chair shooting zombies on the
She has to chat
Xbox.
With her friends with a Ouija board.
Of course, when I'm 100, we won't have Xbox. We'll have just chips in our brains.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's that we can play the game in 3D.
She doesn't live in the
head.
World. She's a woman between two times, Dawn. She's not in the world of tomorrow. She's not really in the world of yesterday because she's 100. She's in the world of now, which is a difficult place. Again,
she has friends and coworkers and gets to see people and
you know
say
what?
Hi.
And here's the thing is that old people only go two ways. They become really, really mean or really, really friendly. And she's probably really friendly.
Yeah.
And it's a constant stream of new folks to meet. That's what I'm saying. So it's, you know, who
it's
am
nice
I
thing.
To rain on another person's parade?
That's true.
It's, you know.
And she's not dead yet.
No.
And that's apparently that's a good thing.
You know, and...
I used to always... When I worked at the newspaper, when I worked at the community newspaper, about once a year or so, we'd get a call from a nursing home, and somebody would have to... We'd, like, do rock, paper, scissors to see who had to go over to the nursing home to do the story about the guy who turned 100.
Yeah.
Because we'd have to interview them.
Ugh.
And, you know, 9 times out of 10... They were, like, barely articulate because they're 100 years old. Yeah.
Anzio.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you'd get somebody who's really cool. It would say something like, I eat bacon every day. That's why I'm not dead. You know, but most of the time, they're just like, I can't understand a word
Well, and
saying.
Especially if they're the old folks' home where they're just, you know, where their kids have dumped them.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are they really going to be? What's going on at the old? It's like new catheter day. You know, hooray. I mean, what is it you're going to get all cranked up about at the old folks' home?
I'm sorry.
There's more of this trademark wit available, by the way, in the Rick Emerson program, which comes your way at 1 o'clock today at rickemerson.com. Here's Don Taylor.
A man suffered a minor head wound Monday night in a shooting outside Club 205
in Southeast Portland. That says more about the man than it says about the wound, I think.
Police said an officer was flagged down in the 9900 block of Southeast Stark Street after a report of gunfire in
the strip.
Where? 9900 block.
Oh, that's a surprise.
After a report of a gunfire in the strip club's parking lot at 10:11 p.m. The victim was inside the strip club and was walking out to his car when the gunman tried to rob him, according to witnesses. Those witnesses saw the robber put a gun to the man's head and demand all of his money.
Wait, when you say the 9900, I know I'm an idiot, but...
Well, it's Club 205, so it's out there by where the...
So is that 99th?
Yeah.
That's not like 10th.
No.
I can never tell. The streets
are always
confused. Okay.
Well, yeah. Club 205, I only know where it is because I've driven past it. It's by where the 205 crosses Stark.
Oh, I know where that is. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, no, that area as a whole.
Yeah. So witness said the victim ducked and the gunman pulled the trigger. The bullet grazed the victim's head and the gunman ran away.
He ducked?
He ducked. Well, the guy put a gun to his head. So no, I guess he was like, eek!
I understand that, but I'm saying bullets are fast.
Well,
I mean, was the bullet traveling in Matrix time or something?
Well, I'm guessing what happened is the robber put the gun to his head, said, "Give me your money," and then the guy ducked, and probably as a reflexive action,
he pulled the trigger
right, okay. When the guy ducked. Yeah. I've never had any problems in the times I've been here before, said witness Richard Scheiber, who apparently is not ashamed to tell people. In public, that he goes to strip clubs all the time.
I give all my money to women who won't F me.
It's not necessarily a bad part of town, but people are getting desperate. The economy is going down, he says.
No, listen, friend. Let's you and I not traffic in lies. It's a bad part of town. There's no getting around that. That's that place. There's a place right near there, that restaurant, and this is actually sort of awesome, that restaurant near there that has the huge rotating light-up sign outside that's just a huge piece of meat.
Yeah, the giant desk.
It's a T-bone.
Sailors.
Yeah.
Sailors Country Kitchen.
And it's just like a big T-bone steak that lights up and turns around, where, you know, sort of day and night, just showing you a huge steak, which is kind of great.
Yeah. I've never been to Sailors.
Me
and I've always heard wonderful things about it.
We should go sometime.
We should.
All right.
Maybe we could do a remote from Sailors Country Kitchen.
For less than you might expect, Sailors Kitchen.
Officers used canines to search the area but didn't find the shooter. Witnesses described the shooter, take this down, as a black man wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Police have not named the victim in the case. They said the shooting does not appear to be gang-related.
Okay, well, there you go. So he was just walking out and the guy was waiting in the parking lot and said, give me your money?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. A guy coming out of a strip club has no money.
Yeah, rob the guy on his way into the strip. Of course, he'll only have ones.
Yeah, I mean, not
but,
that if...
You know.
And not that we're suggesting that you rob people, but I'm saying if you're already headed down that road, rob a guy that has some cash, at least.
Yeah, you never rob a guy coming out of a bar.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like you're a homeless guy just looking for change. There you wait until they've been in and, you know, come back out, so... by the way, speaking of the Rick Emerson radio program and the wit contained therein, that begins at 1 o'clock. If you are a subscriber, you click on over to rickemerson.com. We usually, what happens is somebody asked me if the show actually starts at 1, and the deal is this program ends at 1, a little musical interlude at rickemerson.com. Yesterday it was all like Sinatra and the Donnas. It may be wrong, though. It was something like that. Today, I don't know. I think today we're going to have some other conglomeration of songs. But there's a little musical interlude, and then we get underway 10:15 after. If you are not a subscriber, don't forget that the Emerson Grant could make you a listener for the low, low cost of nothing. The Emerson Grant's going to be awarded to 10 lucky souls per month, giving them a full month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. That is in partnership with our good friends and longtime listeners at New Millennium Maintenance. You simply make a YouTube video of 2 minutes or less in length explaining why you or someone you know ought to receive a one-month subscription to this to the Emerson News Network and to the Rick Emerson radio program. You send that link to video@rickemerson.com. video@rickemerson.com. So in partnership with New Millennium Maintenance, we're going to be making 10 of those available every month. This is the Emerson News Network. This is Legion of News. This is Don Taylor.
It's time for science news.
Fantastic. Hold on. Let me end. There we go. Science on the march on Legion of News.
Employers looking to ward off illness in the office might consider investing in some hand sanitizer dispensers.
And fire.
Alcohol-based hand disinfectants seem to reduce the number of cases of the common cold, fever, and coughing in an office environment, and decrease the number of sick days employees take due to these illnesses, according to a new German study. The number of participants in the study was quite small, but if future research confirms the findings, hand sanitizers may prove to be a cost-effective way of maintaining employee health,
and
the
this,
researchers said.
This is a German study. I mean, Germans, they know about cleansing.
Researchers recruited 129 administrative employees from a university in Greifswald, a town in northeastern Germany, and from other public administration offices in the country for a 13-month study. While previous studies had looked at the benefit of hand sanitizers in medical facilities, daycare centers, and universities, the effect of these disinfectants in workplaces such as public administration offices had not been examined. About half of the administrative employees were told to maintain normal hand-washing behavior, while the other half were supplied with hand disinfectant and instructed to use it at least 5 times during each workday.
Do you suppose they're just trying to avoid having people shower altogether in Germany at this point? Just
I think they should be encouraging people to shower more in Germany.
Nah, that works out badly there.
I guess I see your point.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying when the German, you know, whether the German scientists or the government, they come to your office and they were going to cleanse half of you. I mean, it's just, you know, that's when you start tunneling.
Anyway, at the end of every month, they filled out surveys saying if they'd had colds or sinusitis or fever or pneumonia or anything. And using the hand sanitizers greatly decreased the amount of illness.
I would imagine that people in Germany try not to get sick at all at this point for the fear that they're just going to, you know, that the eugenics will no longer be passive. It's just going to kick back up into active mode. They're an evil people, Don. I mean, there's just no getting around it. They're not human, you know, like you and I. There's just no getting... That's just a fact. I think that is a scientific fact.
Oh, we could do a... next, they'll be doing a study where they're going to give hand sanitizers to people who make Scheisse videos.
Yes.
And see if it decreases the amount of illness in the workplace.
Here's the thing about that that hand sanitizer, though. That, like, the Purell or the whatever, the... in fact, I got some of my little drawer up there.
I'm not surprised.
I have that with me everywhere. Well, not everywhere
I'm shocked that you don't have it next to you, just using it constantly.
Well, no, see, because here's the thing is I'm not... I'm OCD, but not about, like, germs. Like, I'm not a germaphobe. I mean, have you ever been in my car or my house or whatever? Anybody's, you know that I'm not. I like things to be tidy, and I got a certain order and a way in which I like stuff to be, like, filed or sorted or whatever. I am not a germaphobe. I've eaten food out of the trunk of my car. I have... I'm not in any way... But you know what I like to be?
You've eaten food out of the trunk of other people's cars.
It's true. I just like to be efficient, and hand sanitizer is, healthier. No matter what some nutcase at a co-op tells you. And also, it just saves a step, you know? Because it's like you don't have the soap and then the water and then the towel, hand sanitizer. Because that's 3 steps. Water on, lather up, rinse, you know, wash, rinse, and then you turn it off and then you dry. Hand sanitizer onto your hand and then you're out the door and it actually dries on the way and it's clean. It's like a third the time. So.
And some of the, like, the fine folks at Bath and Body Works actually make hand sanitizer in a number of really lovely scents as well. So. I'm just saying.
Sure, and that as well. I'm just saying. It's.
Well, I mean, you know.
If we were really...
It's like you can use the hand sanitizer and then go, cucumber.
Yes, you can. I have nothing else to say. Here's Don Taylor.
European astronomers say they have discovered a star system containing at least 5 Neptune-like planets. They suspect there are 2 more, including one that could be the smallest found outside our solar system. Christoph Lovis of Geneva University says the discovery was made by Swiss, French, and German scientists using the European Southern Observatory Telescope in Chile.
I'm sorry, that was a total joke there.
I think the biggest thing, of course, is the fact that we find so many candidates.
I was trying to do this, but it's at such a low volume level.
I believe about half of those will probably turn out to be planets.
That's my fault. It was overwhelming. I got to turn the science music down because it was drowning out the science guy.
Lovis said Tuesday that the planets orbit a star called HD 10180, some 127 light years away in the Hydrus constellation. 5 are covered with rock and ice and have 13 to 25 times the mass of Earth. Scientists also suspect the system contains one larger planet similar to Saturn and another with only 1.4 times the mass of Earth orbiting very close to the star.
What was that look for? You just gave me like a sort of...
I'm just saying, they found...
Conspiratorial glance there.
They think there's a planet that's 1.5 times the size of Earth orbiting very close to a star.
And that means what?
There could be evil aliens.
Oh, there
are. That are going to come and kill us.
There almost certainly are
like
evil aliens.
Like those giant bug people, like in Battleship Earth.
No.
Whatever,
you know,
it's called.
I'm sort of zen with that. I am resigned to the idea that there's a race of sort of insect overlords that are eventually going to... What is it Kent Brockman says? Putting us to work in their underground sugar caves? that'll happen at some point. I have no illusions about that fact.
We need to look through these candidates with ground-based telescopes and find out which are really planets and which aren't.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, I love him so much.
Here's Don Taylor.
That's all of our science news.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, speaking of cleaning, I could have segued to this, but it seemed like the whole Nazi thing was something I probably should have, put a little space between that and one of our fine sponsors. Michael Beatty, not a Nazi. He is, however, the proprietor of the cleaning solution, 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. It actually says not a Nazi on his business card. That's how not Nazi-like he is.
Does that really matter if you want someone to clean for you, though?
Well, no.
If they're a Nazi or not?
I guess it's a zero-sum game there. I guess it's really all about that is a destination-oriented. That's not about the journey. That's just about getting a job done right the first time.
I mean, I suppose if you're Jewish, you don't want to invite the guy into your home if he's a Nazi. But even if he... was. As long as he cleans things well.
I think we've gone one step too far.
I'll stop talking now.
Okay. Well, in any event, this is ruined. Residential and commercial cleaning, regular maintenance programs as well. Also, there's no way to save this. Certified by the Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification, and also, again, not a Nazi. Not even comedically. Michael Beatty, the cleaning solution. 971-53. He paid for this. 971-533. No refunds. 971-533-3211. Write it down now because you may not need it today. You will need it. Look, for example, Laura and I have a...
Floors will be
don't,
clean!
No, see? I was trying to segue into something else there. I was going to tell a charming story about a house guest we're going to have, and then immediately you're turning into Wernher von Klemperer. No... There you go. 971-533-3211. Let's all forget this happened. Here's Don Taylor.
Marine Patrol deputies rescued a 4-year-old girl and her mother's friend Monday after they became stranded in the middle of the Clackamas River. Lisa Pierce and her friend, Emily Couts, were floating down the river near Cross Park in Gladstone, according to Clackamas County deputies. Couts' daughter, Bella, was in an inner tube with her when the girl fell out of the raft and into the water, deputies said. Pierce promptly abandoned her own inner tube, swam toward the girl, and grabbed her. Deputies said Pierce and Bella were stranded in the middle of the river and surrounded by rapids. Although the water was about 5 feet deep in the area, the shoreline was inaccessible. When deputies arrived at the scene, they maneuvered around the rapids and hoisted Bella to safety on the boat. They then grabbed Pierce and brought her safely aboard, a sheriff's spokesman said.
Inner tubes are one of those things that, I mean, not that I care, but by all rights, they should not let kids... No one should be allowed to use those, really, as some sort of a device for entertainment or fun, because they're just like death traps.
But they are fun.
Oh, no, they are. Again, it's
just, especially for going down the snowy hillsides.
That's the thing, and I was just going to say, it's not like I care. I mean, kids could use a little toughening up, I suppose. But I'm just saying, by all rights, in this freakish, like, safety-obsessed what-about-the-children world, it doesn't seem like a thing that ought to be allowed.
No.
Like lawn darts or something. No, that's like a thing where like 1 in 5 kids who inner tubes is going to die. I mean, we all know that that's true, which, whatever. I mean,
I don't think that's true.
Well,
awful lot of inner tubes and an awful lot of kids and hardly any of them die.
Well, I didn't say they're going to die like right away. But I just, like, you were talking about going down the hill. I remember going on some sort of sledding, whatever, excursion when I was, maybe 10 or 12. And as a friend of mine and then his younger sister. And as kids are wont to do. We went off without parental supervision and we're sledding down this incredibly steep hill. I mean, it just seems like it was a sheer drop in my mind's eye. But, it just sort of went straight down and then there was a huge bump at the bottom of the hill from which you would get air. And she either weighed too little or too much. I don't know which it was. All I know is that when we would hit the bump, we would sort of stay with the inner tube and then we would land and ha-ha, that was fun. And when she hit it, it just ejected her like George Jetson's bed. And she just went flying like off screen, out of the shot altogether. She went flying out of the frame. I don't even know where she landed. I mean, it could have been in the next state.
It was
exactly sort of a boing and then just gone like over the horizon like Bugs Bunny. It was awesome. She didn't die, so maybe I'm wrong about that. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Today, Corpse Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch, also a pop culture authority. Today's pop culture authority, we will answer the question, what is the end or punchline to the joke told by John Bender in The Breakfast Club? That is the... The answer will shock you. That is the that's the pop culture third of the day. What is the punchline to the joke told by John Bender in John Hughes's The Breakfast Club? That's coming up today at the Rick Emerson Show at 1 o'clock. Here's Don Taylor.
Ex-baseball great Roger Clemens says he looks forward to fighting perjury charges brought against him. He's accused of making false statements to Congress when he testified about using steroids. Former Congressman Tom Davis, who called for Clemens to be investigated in the first place, says he hoped all along Clemens was telling the truth when he said he never used performance-enhancing drugs.
I wanted to believe him. I mean, I was a big Clemens fan, and you got to remember, he not only had a spectacular career, he did a lot for his community.
Davis, who called for Clemens to be investigated in the first place, says he met with Clemens before he testified and gave him this advice.
I said, whatever you do, don't lie. It just makes it worse.
That's some real Sagan advice here. Thanks
a
lot.
Yeah, my parents used to tell me that, too.
Stitch in time saves nine, Roger.
It'll go easier for you if you just tell us the truth.
Know when to hold him and when to fold
him. That's a lie. So,
yes?
It's interesting. There's a congressman named Tom Davis, and, like, Al Franken is a senator.
Right.
And Al Franken's former partner when he worked on Saturday Night Live was Al Davis.
That's true.
Was Tom Davis. But it's not the same Tom Davis.
No, it's not. Hey, did you see that somebody fired shots into Al Franken's home?
No.
Yeah. I don't really know many of the details. I just saw the headline. It was on Drudge. Somebody just fired. I don't mean to sound make it more than it was. Who knows? Maybe it was some sort of misunderstanding, or maybe they weren't shots or whatever. But the headline was that shots were fired into the home of Al Franken.
Wow.
He wasn't dead. So he's free to, you know, free to continue serving his country in a sleepy, infantile, smarmy voice, like, forever.
An amusement park ride operator hit himself in the head with his fists once he realized a young girl had fallen about 100 feet from the ride without a safety net, according to police reports Monday. Tegan Marty, 12, of Parkland, Florida, fell from the Terminal Velocity ride just outside Wisconsin Dells on July 30th. She survived, but doctors said she could have been paralyzed. The ride's dive master, Chuck Carnell, 33, has been charged with one count of first-degree reckless injury, a felony punishable by up to 25 years in prison and $100,000 in fines. Carnell told investigators he blanked out and never saw the all-clear signal before releasing Tegan.
What sort of a ride is this?
I think it might be one of those things where you're on a giant bungee cord and they like let you go and you go flying off into space and bounce around and come back. According to reports released Monday, other riders told police that when Carnell realized the child had fallen, he hit himself in the head, then got on his radio and said he had just killed her and should go to jail. He also asked to have his pastor come to the amusement park.
Here's the thing. When your lawyer says don't say anything, that really is sage advice.
Yeah.
For example, don't get on radio and say, I've killed someone, I need to go to jail. That's the sort of thing that will come up in court. I can almost guarantee you.
Yeah,
that
they hold that against you.
Someone will mention that. That's not a thing they're going to... Yeah. Peter Criss from KISS apparently did this at least once, and possibly twice, if I'm remembering the story correctly, where he actually just called this guy C.K. Lent, who was the... their business manager, who wrote a fascinating book about them called Kiss and Sell. And he said that at least once he answered the phone at like 3 in the morning, and it was Peter Criss going, I shot somebody, and they're dead. I'll need a lawyer. Bye.
Jesus.
And it was like when he was just drunk and high all the time. And he said that he just heard like crashing and breaking sounds in the background. And that was just, yeah, he's like, I shot somebody, they're dead. I'll need a lawyer. Bye. And I hung up the phone. And then so he was just like sweating it out, went to knock on the door, you know, like... Peter, I'm here about the death and the lawyer and it's like no answer, you know, and Peter, no answer. Finally gets a break in the door. Peter Criss, alone in the room, peacefully asleep, no one dead, no shots fired, didn't even have a gun, no explanation. And the next day didn't remember making the phone call. No explanation about it whatsoever. So
wow.
Just don't say those things. Really think these things through.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Sure. Entertainment news for Tuesday, Legion of News.
Curb Your Enthusiasm actress Cheryl Hines and her husband, talent manager Paul Young, have filed for divorce. The couple filed papers on July 20th, reports USMagazine.com. The estranged couple have a 6-year-old daughter named Catherine Rose from their 7-year marriage.
She's curbed her enthusiasm for being with that guy.
Conan O'Brien's writing staff is reportedly unhappy about looming pay cuts for his new TBS show, which reports the New York Post. This is no surprise, says a source. One show was broadcast network, the other is basic cable.
Seriously,
it's a different pay scale.
It's TBS. You're lucky to have a job. It's not that I'm not sympathetic to their plight, but I mean, You know, yeah. You got fired and then, like, hired the same day. So, you know, really, let's curtail the whining.
The Writers Guild of America is reportedly negotiating how much O'Brien's staff will be paid for the upcoming series.
Oh, yeah, things are going to change now. The Writers Guild is on the case. The writers, the massive authority of the Writers Guild of America, they're going to go in there and really put them in a hammerlock.
Tiger Woods' divorce is final. Tiger
Seriously?
Woods.
No, just I'm sorry. Just I hate to harp on this. First of all, thank you for not laughing at the Curb Your Enthusiasm joke I made. I would have lost respect for you. Secondly, does it really say that the Writers Guild is that they're negotiating or that they're discussing? What does it say that they're doing?
They're going to negotiate how much O'Brien's staff will be paid, and you know, then that's the case generally with all with shows. I mean, the Writers Guild gets involved with how much the writers will be paid, you know, for their work, but you know, I guess the writing staff is going, huh? We're going to be paid how much less than we were when you were on NBC? You know, it's like, I imagine they're still pretty decently paid.
And seriously, and the writers get...
And they're writers. Again, like you said, they should be happy they have a job.
Well, and not only that, but it's like the writers get... I mean, you might as well have a five-year-old go in there and try to negotiate that. But the five-year-old would probably get a better deal than the Writers Guild. I mean, you talk about just the most impotent organization that has ever existed to presumably serve labor interests. Jesus. They can't even write a contract correctly.
Tiger Woods' divorce is final.
All right. For $100 million, I heard.
Is it?
$100 million is... Which, you know, whatever. I don't know that anybody's going to really quibble about that. And it seems like he's willing to pay whatever it takes to get her gone. So it does, I mean...
It's not like, you know, he can really
That's the thing.
Defend like, himself.
What
here.
Is his moral ground? The thing is, I always use that phrase, the steer into the skid. He really ought to do that. I mean, I think people would gain respect for Tiger Woods if he just dug in on that. If he just said, look, sure, I'm a dick, you know, and I was like effing everything that moves, and I was banging porn stars, so would you, but whatever. So I'm an ass, no problem. Doesn't change the fact she doesn't have a job. And earned nothing and contributed basically sex, which clearly was insufficient. I'll give you $1 million and that's it. And you can leave. And if he just had a press conference where he's like, look, I'm a jerk, but she's a gold digger. F her. You know, and then just like stared at the camera, you know, and just like, oh, what are you going to do? I think his approval rating would double overnight. Right?
I don't know.
Because that's the thing that people don't like about him right now is the feeling that he's just trying to just being evasive. He's just weaseling out of it by not just going like, hey, what are you going to do? I like chicks. He didn't just grab it and just own it. Be a Clinton about it. I can't quit humping and just roll with it. I think people would respect that honesty.
Probably more.
Not enough forthrightness in this country, Don.
That's right.
All right, here's Don Taylor.
A man has been arrested at Paris Hilton's Los Angeles home after the socialite said he tried to break into her house while holding two big knives. Police officer Gregory Beck said the man was arrested about 6:30 a.m. Tuesday, but his name hasn't been released.
Logically, how could you break in while holding two big knives? What are you breaking in with?
I guess you could put like both knives in one hand and then use your other hand
though.
And then maybe put one down. And then once he got the door open, he picked the other one up.
Maybe one in his teeth, Blackbeard.
Or stuck one down the front of his pants.
Okay, no. Okay, I like reading.
Or he had holsters.
No.
Knife holsters.
I'm with it.
Hilton wrote on her Twitter page that she was awakened by the man trying to break into her house. Beck couldn't confirm if the man was armed. Beck said the break-in was reported by telephone, but he didn't know if he came from Hilton or an alarm company. Hilton posted a photo on Twitter of police arresting the man.
Okay.
And a court official says the judge handling Lindsay Lohan's criminal case plans to issue an unspecified ruling in the case a day before her attorneys are due in court.
Maybe it's a fatwa.
Los Angeles Superior Court spokesman Alan Pericini said Monday that Judge Eldon Fox plans to issue the ruling Tuesday afternoon, which would have been yesterday. I didn't hear anything about this.
Tuesday afternoon?
Is today Tuesday?
Yeah, that's
okay,
today.
Okay, so that would be this afternoon. What day is this? Where am I?
Today's Tuesday. That's happening later today.
Okay.
Story there.
Well, later today we will find out what's going on with this.
All right.
And she's still currently serving her 90-day sentence in rehab.
Okay, I was just going to say, because I thought she was out. Okay, she's in rehab now. All right. Well, whatever. Okay.
Happy birthday today to Police Academy and Cocoon actor Steve Guttenberg, who's 52.
52? I thought he was older than that. He's shaving years there.
Yeah, I believe he's lying.
There's no way. Do you know that Steve Guttenberg's movies have made over $1 billion?
Yeah. He was the most profitable actor in Hollywood there for a while.
Shame he's such a dick, though.
Actor David Koechner, you'll remember him from Anchorman
yes.
and The Office. He's 48.
We, pardon me, a little thing there. We've had him on the show. I interviewed him, and he was just fantastic because he kind of was, what's his name, Champ Kind from Anchorman. He was just sort of, well, I'm glad to be here, you know, and just, and he was like frying bacon or something for his kids' breakfast. And then he was like, now I'm going to eat some Captain Crunch while we're on the phone, if you don't mind. And then, well, I'm, you know, we're talking about comedy, and I'm like, who are your comedic influences? He's like, I love that Bob Newhart. It was just fantastic. It was exactly what you wanted to be. I'll find it. We'll play it. Here's Don Taylor.
Actress Marlee Matlin is 45. Comic Dave Chappelle is 37. And True Blood actor Alexander Skarsgård is
That's,
34.
Eric Northman. Yeah, that guy.
Eric Northman. Yeah. And new on TV tonight, a new episode of ABC Family's Melissa and Joey, in which Joe realizes his social life has suffered since becoming a nanny. So Mel lies about his profession to get him a date with her sorority sister.
Is this Joey Lawrence or is this what's his name from Friends?
No, Joey Lawrence.
Okay, this isn't the Matt LeBlanc or whoever that guy is. All right.
On 19 Kids and Counting on TLC, 12 of the kids come down with chickenpox, further delaying Josie's reunion with the rest of the family. On Shaq Versus on ABC, Shaq squares off with Charles Barkley in a 5-hole golf challenge. And also takes part in a competitive eating challenge with hot dog eating champ Joey Chestnut.
Don't you think there ought to be like a Shat versus where it's Shatner, you know, and it's like Shatner versus, and he has to outrun a team of Clydesdales or something.
Yeah, I've never actually seen the Shaq versus show really, but it was on last week I think it was, and he was boxing someone.
Yeah,
and I saw about a minute and a half of it, and really just watched it to like a couple of minutes to boggle at just how much bigger. Shaquille O'Neal was than the guy he was boxing.
He's bigger than everyone.
Yeah, he is just massive.
He's a giant of a man.
And it's quite an advantage if you're boxing because his reach is so far.
Like across the room.
The guy couldn't get at him because it's like, he's like 12 feet away from him.
So like in that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's boxing that guy who's like the size of a mountain?
Yes.
And Bugs is like,
Killer Kowalski or whatever his name is.
Yeah, and it's like the fist comes from like a mile away.
Yes.
Shaq is just, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to I had this article from Reader's Digest, I think, about Andre the Giant that I would read where they would talk about, and they would do it in ways that, like, comparative sizes that, like, a kid could understand, where they would talk about how big Andre the Giant was, and they would talk about his wedding ring and that you could pass a full-size egg through his wedding ring. And, I mean, that's just unreal. They would they had this picture of it, and this is the 80s, but I think it was still basically the same size. It was a beer can, like a 12-ounce beer can, and then he could just hide it in his hand. He would just put it in his hand and close his hand. You like couldn't see it, and that's just bizarre.
There's an issue of Esquire magazine in the 80s. I remember where they did a 2-page gatefold that was Magic Johnson's hand full size.
Yeah,
so you could actually put your hand up against it and go, "Oh my lord!"
And you just go like, "Jesus, God Almighty!" Yeah. All right. Is that our entertainment news?
That's all our
There you go. All right, here's Don Taylor.
SeaWorld has been fined $75,000 by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration for 3 safety violations, including one classified as willful, after an animal trainer was killed in February. In a statement Monday, Cindy Coe, OSHA's regional administrator, said that SeaWorld knew of the inherent risks of allowing trainers to interact with dangerous animals. Nonetheless, she said, it required its employees to work within the pool walls, on ledges, and on shelves where they were subject to dangerous behavior by the animals. SeaWorld denied what it called unfounded allegations by the U.S. Department of Labor agency and said it would contest the citations. In a statement Monday, they said, OSHA's allegations in this citation are unsupported by any evidence or precedent and reflect a fundamental lack of understanding of the safety requirements associated with marine mammal care penalties.
How can you deny that? How can they straight-facedly deny, through their mouthpiece of a lawyer, that they are not making people work in dangerous conditions? They're with killer whales.
Yes, the end. In February, a 12,000-pound killer whale at the Orlando, Florida SeaWorld pulled trainer Dawn Brancho, 40, underwater and killed her as horrified park visitors watched.
I love that phrase.
As horrified park visitors
watched? Yeah, any news story that has, like, as horrified onlookers gaped, you know, in terror.
An autopsy report showed Brancho died from drowning and traumatic injuries to her body, including her spine, ribs, and head.
Well, you know what? Don't put things in cages and they won't kill you.
The OSHA statement said the whale involved was one of three also involved in the death of an animal trainer in 1991 at a Vancouver, British Columbia water park. So this whale had a history of violence.
It's a serial killer whale.
The agency's investigation revealed that SeaWorld trainers had an extensive history of unexpected and potentially dangerous incidents involving killer whales at its various facilities, including its location at Orlando.
Yeah, it's unexpected unless you have access to the news.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do one more here, and then we'll wrap it up. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes your way shortly after we wrap this program today, a little after 1 o'clock. And listening to the Rick Emerson Show is as easy as clicking over to rickemerson.com. And there ye can become a subscriber if ye are not already. Today we got the Corpse Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch. We will have another installment of Pop Culture Authority today. We'll answer this question: what is the punchline to the joke told by John Bender in The Breakfast Club? That's coming up today at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. This is Don Taylor.
Two Swedish schoolgirls have ended up in court after they were caught bugging their teacher's staff room in a bid to get better grades. The girls were found out when one of them was so excited about the scam, she wrote about it on her Facebook page. The teenagers, who were not named, came up with a plan after finding a key to the teacher's lounge. They then went to a spy shop, bought bugging equipment, and planted it in the staff room the day before teachers were due to have a meeting about how to grade students' work. The pair reportedly thought the plot would give them an advantage on upcoming tests and schoolwork, but after one of the girls mentioned their plan on Facebook, teachers found the bug. The girls were charged with trespassing and fined $300 each in Stockholm District Court.
Well, I like to see motivation, at least. I mean, that's having a little, you know, a little get up, a little up and at them in terms of one's education. Fantastic. All right, there you go. Legion of News is brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.FM and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This has been another exciting episode of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.